Now, you might have heard, we found out yesterday who has won the last few vacant seats in the upper house of New South Wales. There's some old faces, some new faces. We've got two One Nation members, two animal justice parties. It's going to be interesting. Now, obviously, we do love our music here at 2SER, so we are asking the question, what does this new parliament mean for the live music scene, the night economy, and the arts more broadly? Here in studio to tell us a little bit more is Michael Rodriguez. He's the chair of the Nighttime Industry Association. Michael, it's always good to see you. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me in again.
So Gladys Berejiklian and the Coalition, they've won the state government. Do you think that they've changed their previous approach to the nighttime economy and actually promised any reform?
I think you've put a good question there. And in terms of its construction, it's unclear to me. And I think it's a bit like trying to read the tea leaves at the moment. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. The election's been obviously a focus, and now there's some restructuring going on. Obviously, the upper house was just determined yesterday. And I think the one thing, I can't really speak directly to that because it's a bit hard, but one thing I can say is that the industry and public, I think, their position has moved, you know, in the last 3 months, and that has been a function of all the campaigning work that Keep Sydney Open, we, others, aligned interests have done. And I think it has made a difference, and there is some serious thought going to go into how this goes forward. There's a couple of tea leaves that I might speak to. One is that Create New South Wales, I think, has been put into Department of Premier and Cabinet. And in terms of, I think, we've been asking for a nighttime economy minister, a nighttime minister, as part of our campaigning. That hasn't been done. But the two portfolios that sort of sit in our space are that of Create and also Liquor Gaming and Racing, primarily. And so shifting of that into Premier and Cabinet probably means that there will be a better dialogue, I think, as to how that department works. That's one change. But I guess what many of us are waiting for is some clear statements about how much of a priority is this now. So that's where I think things have got to.
And you mentioned in there as well, Keep Sydney Open. They were obviously gunning for a lot of the same things you guys are. I know that some people have been quite disappointed that they didn't end up landing a seat, but some people were had the opposite view. They were really stoked with the votes that they did get. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm a perpetual optimist, you know. Like I've been thinking long and hard about this one, and I don't know if this analogy is too tortured, but it really is the Lord of the Rings here, and we've established the fellowship is how I look at it. You know, there's a great motley crew of people, dwarves, elves, you know, wizards, hobbits kind of gathering now, and that's what's happened. And so I think that while we would have liked perhaps have been closer to Mordor, I don't know where I'm going with this, but like we would have been further advanced. But you know, the thing is that the level of discussion in amongst the stakeholders in the nighttime economy has just increased massively in the last 6 months, and that's a really positive thing. And I think in terms of, you know, that stakeholder base, if I can talk about that for a little while, you know, there are many roles that need to be played. New South Wales state government regulation is a major piece of the puzzle. Another major piece is how the councils go about dealing with nighttime economy. And I know, and I have first-hand information because I'm involved in discussions with many of them, that outside of the City of Sydney, who've been, I would say, at the forefront and proactive around nighttime economy, the Inner West is now, I guess, getting more organised. And City of Parramatta and Campbelltown as well, like just to name a few without leaving anyone out. But nighttime economy is now registered as a thing, and I think a big chunk of that was the Deloitte report mid-Feb, which came out and said we're estimating about $16 billion worth of lost income annually in Sydney, in the Sydney LGA, as the opportunity cost of not having this right. And so, you know, whether or not the state government will come out and help, and I think it's obviously in its interest to do so, we'll wait and see. But the role that councils can play is massive. I think that, you know, if we haven't got the clear piece that we're out after from the state government, then it's just as valid to go and focus on local councils and see what can be done, you know, on a case-by-case basis.
So there are other avenues if, you know, it doesn't go so well with the state government.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I like, as I said, the perpetual optimist. And, you know, my view on this is that we don't want to see more venues go. How do we stop venues going? Well, just do it one by one. Like I was out on the weekend at the Welcome Hotel in Roselle, who has been subject to a complaint around odour and has been had its barbecue shut down in the week before, you know, before Anzac Day. And it's a pub that's been there since 1877 or something like this. And, you know, it's what the role that that pub plays in community versus obviously the interests of the neighbour next door who doesn't like the smell of sizzling meat or seafood. And so, you know, I was there with Darcy Byrne, the mayor, and the CEO of Inner West Council, talking with the licensee about what can be done. And we've just got to fight to save, you know, our civic and cultural spaces. And I look at a pub as a meeting place. You know, that's what it is, a public house. It's a place that even, I think, by law has to, if you turn up and you need to go to the bathroom, you can use it. You know, this is what these spaces are. And, you know, there is plenty to be done. You know, in my industry role, one of my key objectives is to get industry collaborating better, just to improve the nighttime offer. And you know, those are the kinds of things that, taken with, hopefully, the completion of the light rail in due course, you know, you'll start to see some positive things happen. And there are positive things happening. It's just about the speed at which we can make them happen, really.
And so back to the state upper house that's just been confirmed. It's kind of a bit of a motley crew, lots of minor parties. We've got two One Nation seats, two animal justice seats. David Lionhelm hasn't won a seat, and say what you will about him, he was at least on board with the nighttime economy and, you know, keeping Sydney open. I know you said you're forever the optimist, but broadly, what do we know and how are you feeling about this new upper house?
I think that... Look, there's some interesting things going on, isn't there? Behind the scenes, I think I'm right in saying that there will be a New South Wales state Labor poll, leadership poll, after the federal election. And there are elements within the Labor Party who want to see lockout gone, and I guess would say are on board with a lot of the principles that we're talking about here. And so... that Greens are as well, Shooters are as well, as it turns out. And it's just, and I'm not a specialist around these things, but is that it is not necessarily a bad thing to have minor parties in there, because around individual issues, you can go and get, you know, it's an opportunity to lobby and persuade. And it's I think that on the numbers, it's kind of for supply, Lib Nats, Shooters, One Nation and Christian Democrats kind of will need to get together to ensure supply through the upper house. You know, but like on lockout, take the Shooters out of that, they join the other side and it's 21 versus 20. So, you know, I think that there's all of that will be on the radar of minds of the different groups as these issues get discussed, I would think. And I would like to hope, and it's the job of people like myself and other campaigners to try and ensure that that happens.
Michael, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tess. Great to be in.
That was Michael Rodriguez. He's the chair of the Nighttime Industries Association, having a chat about the new state government upper house. Now it's all been confirmed and what it may mean for the nighttime economy.